to introduce both of these speakers. Our first speaker, I don't know why you want to say he's from Baltimore, but he's from Maryland Eastern Shore. He gonna tell y'all. Change, we must have died, we will. I'll give y'all Wesley S.
I'm an addict named Wesley.
Hey, Wesley!
First and foremost, I want to thank God for another day clean, another day alive. And it's truly only through God's grace and His mercy that I stand before you today clean, alive, and in my right mind able to carry the kind of Narcotics Anonymous message. From the very bottom of my heart and depths of my soul, I need to thank Narcotics Anonymous for reintroducing me to a relationship with the God of my own understanding. If it showed me how to live life on life's terms without the use of a substance, then doing that, I learned how to survive my feelings and emotions, what I had the most of and know the least about. I want to thank the programming committee of this convention for once again seeing something an addict named Wesley S. doing on any given day that he may not see in himself, and it's that we have something to give. And the we that I'm collectively talking about is the faith, belief, and trust in the Narcotics Anonymous philosophy of recovery. Just for today, don't get high no matter what. Work the steps or die, motherfucker. You know, having a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor, believing in the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts of Narcotics Anonymous recovery, having developed a relationship with the God of our understanding. That is the we that I'm collectively talking about. Because too many times, many are called, few are chosen, still too few choose. And today it is about the choice. What choice are you willing to make today? The time begins, and like, you know, I was going to do all, you know what, man, for real, I ain't got time for petty shit. Me and Dennis came here. This is not about competitive sharing. Do you know? And if you've been given an opportunity to serve on this type of level, man, it's overwhelming. You know, I can't. There are so many people in this room who have been with me from day one. I want to thank those people. I want to thank the old timer for keeping the room open for an addict like me. I want to thank the newcomer for giving an addict like me an opportunity to pass on a promise of freedom and a message of hope. I want to welcome back the relapser. I want to talk to that person right now who is caught up in untrue, unhealthy belief systems about their self and their addiction. That's who I want to talk to. I want to say, Scott, I love you. I'm so glad to see you. Gary, Chad, John, I can't name everybody. Because this is what we do in here. We share our lives with people. Now the topic is, change we must or die you will. Now look. I come here to share, man. I ain't here to speak. I ain't an NA speaker. The back of my dance is when I care and share with others. Not when I care and speak. It's hard to be famous in an anonymous program. Now, I've been getting calls all week. It's crazy. People think I'm like some. And I don't want to sound no bigger than the mess. I'm just another little scrawny, skinny motherfucker that's decided to stay clean. That made a choice and just lit a program. And I got the ability to tell the truth in no uncertain terms, and people love that shit. That's why people love me. Our true value lies in being ourselves. I ain't got time for all that bullshit. There are men in this room where we threaten each other with physical violence and we're still friends. And I'm talking real shit. I'm talking about people who get caught up in obsession and compulsion and like, will casually throw aside good friendships because they want to act out on behaviors because they're just too scared to do something different. But the program allows me the opportunity, the ability to let people love me in spite of myself. We are loved for who we are, not in spite of who we are. Too many times people want to piss holy water and shit Jesus biscuits. And they forget that I'm an addict. And I suffer from a disease that is cunning, baffling, and insidious. That it will use the very program. It will disguise itself as one of you guys to fuck me up. Change, we must or die, we will. I came to the table. Yeah, I'm here to sign in. My top, they're like, nah, yo. I was like, yo, I'm so fucking tired of this shit. And I've been doing CPR CNA for 10 fucking years, man. My name is Wesley S. W-E-S-L-E-Y-S. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, born and raised in Northeast Baltimore at Claremont fucking Homes. And you act like you know me. You don't even know what fucking state I'm from. Then you will get mad at me because I just feel you have just disrespected me. You change the time, you change the topic. You know, when the fuck were you going to tell me? I won't get all it. Change, we must or die, we will. Because I got a disease that tells me y'all are here to see Thomas P.
Yeah, right.
And I love Thomas P. Thomas is my home group. I ain't hating on nobody. I'm trying to free myself. Because look, don't worry about who the fuck I am. I'm just an addict like you trying to get another day. That's it. That's all the fuck you need to know about who I am. I can go from zero to spiritual and like God knows how zero to like total disease and fucked up, you know. And I thank God that when I got clean, they allowed me to make mistakes. You know, people say they never heard of the sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up, you know. I went to meeting, that's what the fuck I heard. In the Wiseman house, you know, I went to Greenmount. I don't just claim the bitch. I was in Greenmount at the rec center in the step meeting. I went to Promises Freedom, which is now my home group. And we tell you, if you don't have a step, tradition, or concept experience, we highly suggest that you shut the fuck up and sit down. And when you get the experience, you come back and share. Now look, I'm so grateful and thankful. You have no idea. And look, change, you must have died, we will. I mean, I've been caught up in retail recovery the entire fucking time. I've been down here since Thursday. I bought a hoodie. I'm so retarded. I got outfits for every fucking day. I got new shit I just bought. I can't wait to bring. I mean, I'm acting like a fucking newcomer. I ain't got no bus fare for next week. No motherfucker.
Tell the truth.
Image is everything. I want to look good. Happy Jack. I want to look good, Jack. I am good. Look, man. I did my first step again with my sponsor, Artie, like a year ago. He said, Wesley, your disease is slow walking you. You know what it feels to have somebody break your back spiritually after you think you done known something? Or you done something? The question is, are you willing to be sponsored in Narcotics Anonymous?
Uh-oh.
Because there comes a responsibility. Oh, you want to throw them daggers and shit. You stand up here and tell everybody about yourself and see if you can handle the pressure. Because there's pressure with this shit. People say it ain't. I didn't ask for this when I got clean. I just was glad not to be smoking flakes. I was 19, and there's something about an ass whooping. Like a thorough ass whooping. You know, like your fucking bones hurt. My fucking spirit is broken. You got a fractured personality. Can you just even fathom what the fuck it feels like to be 19 years old and be absolutely hopeless? And this shit ain't about age, but I'm just saying you ain't even fully fucking matured into your full consciousness. You haven't even reached your full fucking potential. Your life is pregnant with possibilities, but at the end of the road, you get to such a fucking place of desperation that you think suicide is a viable fucking option. I'm talking about taking something from me that ain't even mine to take away because a greater consciousness called God breathes the breath in the very lungs that I breathe. So I've got no control over the life that I live. All I got control over, the control is an illusion. The longer I stay clean, all I get is awareness and a choice. And I got here, check it out, when I got here, I was done. There was no pussyfooting around. Your ass did 90 meetings in 90 days. It sounds like a good idea. Drugs aren't a basic symptom. My overwhelming compulsion to use drugs are a basic symptom of the disease that I suffer from. So after 90 days clean, you're about as clean as you're going to get, Wesley. Now what and what? What the fuck are you going to do to change and grow? And just because you've been clean a period of time does not mean that you're drug-proof. One disease, many symptoms. Over a period of time, you will find that you are powerless and unmanageable in ways that have nothing to do with fucking using drugs. Retail recovery. Air Force Ones. We rolling. Ostrich skin, seamless. Yes, I owe everybody money, but I got some fresh fucking shoes for the workshop. That might not be your issue. 35 years old, man. Who the fuck cares what kind of sneakers I really wear? Change we must or die, we will. And what I want to talk about is the absolute love and respect that this fellowship has for me. Because I have a disease and that will tell me because they got my name wrong in the state that I live in. And they changed the time that I don't get the respect that I need to get in Narcotics Anonymous. And what it is, and I thank God for men like Jimmy T., who's going to be the spiritual speaker Sunday. He took a half an hour of his time yesterday and talked to me. And he just said, Wesley, you need to get to a place where God, it's like divine order living in our fifth step, where it talks about God, myself, and others. And he said, Wesley, you still right out here, yo. You still right out here. And he's like, man, you got to get to a place where God and your daughter are the most important things in your life. And what I want to share about Change We Must or Die We Will is I've been given a gift, man, to travel and share. I owe my life to Narcotics Anonymous, man. I live for this shit. I love to share our message. I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, I live to share my experience and tell the truth and stand up here and, you know, some people think it's always about ego or image time, man. No, I just love to know that I know what my calling is in Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know what I mean? And not everybody is cut out for this. Really, you want to get an H&I. You want to get on the program. You want to do the behind-the-scenes work because that's where it's really at. You see, in Narcotics Anonymous, we've become so obnoxious with the entertainment and the puppet shows and the performance and shit that we have really lost the simple, you know, message, man, that any addict can lose a desire to use and find a new way to live. We get too caught up in the personality. Are you going to put the hit on that shit? And, man, yo, you got shit like Shakespeare and all that shit. And look, after all the oohs and the ahs, and it's like you and the disease and half a higher power and all them sneakers and speaker tapes. Now, I don't know if you ever sat and just got into, like, where it talks in that first second. How about that flat book, the step working guy right here.
Don't scan with that.
Now. Flat book, step working guy. Got this for the grown and sexy if you ain't got a sponsor.
Hey, Eric, hand me that water.
You're grown and sexy. Check it out. It's right here in our first step, Jack. He talk about change, we must or die, we will. Hitting bottom, despair and isolation. Our addiction finally brings us to a place where we can no longer deny the nature of our problem. All the lies, all the rationalizations, all the illusions fall away as we stand face to face with what our lives have become. We realize we've been living without hope. We find we become friendless or so completely disconnected that our relationships are a sham, a parody of love and intimacy. Though it may seem that all is lost when we find ourselves in this state, the truth is that we must pass through this place before we can embark upon our journey of recovery.
Uh-oh.
That's what surrender's about. Not resignation. True, have you had a heartfelt experience in Narcotics Anonymous? Look, I was talking to my sponsor, man. We did the first step. And he's like, you need to learn to personalize your the way your disease attacks you. I was running on some old generic shit for almost 15 fucking years. What is the personal way your disease attacks you, Wesley? You ain't even had a heartfelt experience with your damn disease yet. Well, don't let that shit, like, fly over your fucking head, all you stay clean no matter whaters and work the step no matter whaters and... I'm talking about the courage and the integrity. Take a good hard look at your life and say, you know what? I ain't sharing no more. Fuck you. I'm staying home with my daughter every weekend. I got 4 commitments, and when they're done, I'm done. You're going to be begging me to come back because I don't want to do this shit no more. You want to change, you must, or die, you will. Y'all cheer me and love me, but inside I'll be dying inside. I'm talking about the courage to do what you need to do in the face of the adversity of the very people who are here for you that may not even be deep enough to understand what your journey is. But you want to hug me and cheer me on and do your group anniversary when I say what I really need to do is like, look, I can no longer share from this podium anymore. My daughter is 3. Look, she turned 3 last Saturday. Her name is Nevaeh Alexandra Mary Schreiber. I love you, Nevaeh. Chantel, thanks for blessing me with a child. Thanks for being the mother of my child. I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to raise our daughter together. And I know that we got some shit going on, but I'm going to bring it to the podium like, hey, just thanks for being there for me, Chantel. You know, we're going to heal as a family. We're going to break the cycle. We're breaking the chain right now. You know what my daughter told me twice Saturday? It was a rough weekend for the home team, Jack. I was there with her family, and I felt it was just me and God. And I was in the moment, but it was just exhausting. Because I didn't feel like I had any friends there. And it's all my stuff, man, because I was there with my kid. But I got a disease that's so powerful, Eric, that, like, I'll take a comment or something. And I got to, you know, and Jimmy said, Wesley, stop giving her the ammunition. My daughter said, she grabbed me and hugged me. We were reading these books. And she grabbed me and kissed my face and looked in my eyes and said, Daddy, I love you. You're my best friend. Change we must or die we will. Daddy, she said it twice, like to make it a point. Daddy, I love you and you're my best friend. That's from a motherfucker that makes $12 an hour with a GED. Because a lot of us get caught up with the money and the property and the prestige. And then we start thinking that our recovery shines more than your recovery because I got some letters. Look, motherfucker, when we say addict and you say addict, all that shit stops at the door because anonymity means bearing no name. And what that means is who the fuck cares how much money you got? Who the fuck cares what kind of car you drive? Because that shit, look, it's hard to have a material solution for a spiritual problem. You see, the hole inside of me is a God-shaped hole, but so many times, there's something about our self-destructive nature that cries out for failure. That I need a person, a place, or a thing to validate my very existence when all I need to do is look in this room right now And if it gets no better, if Narcotics Anonymous and God do no more for an addict named Wesley S. or my fine friend Dennis, it don't get no better than this. I'll cop short.
Oh. Go ahead.
And this is for somebody that came in this fellowship and did everything that you weren't supposed to do. But I did do one thing. I didn't get high no matter what. I came back and I talked about it. Right. 30 days ago, I got caught up in this obsession and compulsion, man. And like, it ain't even worth it, man. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. Talk about courage and integrity. To just let y'all love me, man. It's hard sometimes. It ain't easy. It hurts being me. It hurts being us. You know, that's why they say stay clean no matter what. People want to act like because you just want to stay clean, like that ain't enough. Hey, it's plenty. I'm still a work in progress. That ain't justification. It might have taken me 16 years to get here. Who the fuck cares? This is a just for today program. Because some of us got too many years and not enough days.
I'm going to write that down. I'm writing that one down.
No, humility is the ideal state for an addict to be in. Humility. I want to thank my friend Ray. For talking to me last night, saying you need to get your ass in junior college and take one course. I love you, Ray. I believe in you, man. Thanks for being my friend. He's going to Johns Hopkins to be a doctor, dude. 19 fucking years clean. Give it up for Ray. Feels like you don't fit. You fit, Ray. You belong. We love you. I don't mean to call you out. You're my friend. See, go to junior college, and that'll keep your time busy. With something positive to work towards a goal. So I can think about the big picture and get some health benefits and just fucking live a good life. Look, I want to thank Chad. My friend Chad, we're staying in his family's beach condo, man, and it's nice. It's nice as shit. No, it's nice to have things, but don't let things have you. But it's nice to know that maybe the quality of your life can improve if you do the hard work. Because, see, I may not be a millionaire, and I may not be rich, but I'm a spiritual millionaire. I feel Gucci inside right now. And I know the money's in the bank. The check is in the mail. Wesley, are you ready to do the work? Can you stand and be blessed? Can you stand and be blessed? Change, you must or die, you will. You don't think your way into better living, you live your way into better thinking. Bring the ass to mind, we'll follow. You become my second step. Look, man, we're staying at Chad's place. We go down and see his dad. They show us this, like, fucking $1.5 million beach house. I'm like, God damn. Motherfucking flat screens and pictures of the family and jet skis and shit. I'm like, God damn, I feel like I'm in MTV Cribs and shit. No, man, that's what you do when you work hard and you pay your fucking taxes and you don't drive on dead licenses and shit. It says in our literature, inability to accept personal responsibility, we create our own problems. Stop buying sneakers, take that little $20, invest the shit in the bank. At the end of the month, you'll have $100. Take that $100, save it for 12 months. That's $1,200. Take that $1,200, go to the bank, buy some stocks and fucking bonds or a fucking mutual fund, and you too can have a $1.5 million fucking beach house. Because people say we don't want to have shit, but what do we work for? The last to go is the stigma of being a drug addict.
That's right.
We change the world. Them people don't do shit out there. All they do is destroy it. And I'm rich, man. I'm your best friend, daddy. Who the fucking thought that shit? Really, though, Eric? I came in this bitch crazy as a shithouse rat with no living skills. And all I knew is you need to make sure you got a fresh-ass pair of shoes and the shirt matches the shoes. And that's it. Fuck everything else. And if you get a bus pass and $20, you can eat for the rest of the week. And I owe people money. I'm serious. Take care of your finances. In the butt. I don't stand in the indigent line with clean time because of my own financial manageability and be begging for a fucking package. But I got a fucking $500 Nietzsche sweatsuit on. But I don't want to pay $30 because they think this shit is free. This shit costs fucking money. Freedom ain't free, man. I'm going to bang you in the head with some literature. Check it out. Change, you must die, you will. Look, it's in the first step. We have found that we had no choice except to completely change our ways of thinking or go back to using. When we give it up, best it works for us as it has worked for others. When we can no longer stand our old ways, we begin to change. From that point forward, we begin to see that every clean day is a successful day, no matter what happens. Everybody wants to say, a clean day is a successful day. No, an abstinent day is a bunch of bullshit. Everybody don't want to read this shit before a clean day. I ain't telling you clean, stand clean ain't what it's about. But it says here, before all that, the clean shit. You know, when we become beaten, not when you beat me up. When you become beaten, you become willing. Now when everybody beats you up with this judgment. And look, I've been off the hook all weekend. Look, it says in the fifth step, we can stop being a person that we invented and be who we truly are. That's in the fourth step. What you see is what you get. I love being me. I have a good fucking time. I dress nice. I look good. I'm good in fucking bed. I'm a good father. I'm a good person. I'm exactly who God wants me to be. So if you work the fucking program, you too might let your light shine. I ain't here to overpower your light. Maybe your light and my light combined can light up the whole rest of the fucking world. We must change. We must die. We will. I'm all right with myself 9 times out of 10. And when I'm not, all of y'all are in trouble. That's what this shit's about. I'll share first. I'll share second. I don't need to study. Fuck it. I pray. God spreads my ass out, puts his hand up my ass, and I'll become a God puppet. I serve a power greater than the programming committee. I serve a power greater than Narcotics Anonymous. I got a God. I believe in that God. Just because I say God don't mean that I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual because my true value lies in being myself. Because when I say addict and then my name, that's exactly who I am. I'm an addict named Wesley S. I'm a child of God named Wesley S. I'm a human being named Wesley S. I thank God talking to Jimmy T. He helped put some shit in perspective. He said, and to get that kind of revelation with 16 years clean and sharing all over the world and all that bullshit, I finally got humbled. Humbled by a more experienced member. I got humbled by Mike a month ago. Known for a year and a half. Wesley, this is your pattern. This is what you do. You injure us when you act out like that because we hold you in a certain place. You don't know how many people you touch, Wesley. I got a disease that tells me none of you want to hear what the fuck I got to say. And it's a lie. You are here to hear the message because that's what I live. That's what that is. We live and breathe this shit. This is what we do. I don't have a slight touch of the disease of addiction. I am a drug addict. You gonna be powerless, that powerless. I do not fuck with people who use. If you use, stay the fuck away from me. You want some help? Come see me. And look, if I'm on the street and you fucked up, I'll hug you, talk to you, and all that shit, but gotta go, gotta go. See you in the meeting. Look. Yeah, where's it at? Hold on. Where the fuck am I at? Boy, I swear. Look, man, I'm going to read some other things and I'm going to pass it off to my fine friend here. Look, man, my friend Darren and Crystal. Because I've been praying, man. I pray. I lead a program. I pray and I go to a higher power and I go to my support group. I go to my sponsor and I talk. And any decision that I make without if I don't make an informed decision by the decision-making committee, it's a self-centered decision. And I've been praying, God, please, give me the courage and the discipline to say no. To just get done the few commitments that I have so I can dedicate my weekends to my daughter. So I can start learning how to save my money. So I can maybe get a better job. You know, let me live in the trust and the faith of the third step. You know, let me just stand up for once in my life and be exactly who you want me to be, God. Let me be the person that all y'all see that a lot of times I don't see. Let me be that spark of hope. So I said, I ain't sharing no more. My friend Crystal and Darren come up and say, Wesley, we were in Schenectady, New York. And they're like, man, we met this young girl and we were telling her where she was from. And she asked if she knew Wesley S. And I said, they said, yeah, he's a good friend of ours. And she said, look, I got 35 days clean. And I listen to his CD every day. Can you just tell him that I said, hey? And Kim from Schenectady, New York, Wesley S. at the Ocean City Convention, who is doing Change We Must or Die We Will, wants to just reach out to you and say, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. And like one day, honey, you will too stand up here and change somebody's life. You will be an instrument. And I want to say that don't worry. Worry about whether you believe in God. Just know that God believes in you and that Wesley S. believes in you, and we want to help you. So Kim, I'm just giving you a shout out. Check it out, man. And I'm going to end it. We realize that we are never cured and that we carry the disease within us for the rest of our lives. We have a disease, but we do recover. Each day we are given another chance. We are convinced there's only one way for us to live, and that is the NA way. I got two things to hit you off with. Where is it worse than why? It's in the sixth step. On this spiritual foundation, we lay the principles of commitment and perseverance as we work the sixth step. We need the willingness to make a commitment to pursue our recovery despite the continued presence of character defects in our lives. We mustn't give up even when we think no change has taken place. We are often blind to our own internal changes, but we can rest assured that what's happening inside us is evident to outside to others. Our job is to keep on walking, even though we may feel as though each step requires more strength than we can muster. No matter how difficult our progress, we must persevere. We can make use of the sheer grit and tenacity that it took to maintain our active addiction by being steadfast and strong in our efforts to sustain our recovery. Any change in Narcotics Anonymous is a lifelong process, and a lot of times we don't even stay clean long enough to reap the benefit of staying clean. When you come here, you did not win the fucking lottery. You won the scratch off. You gotta play to win. So get off the bench and get in the game, because Narcotics Anonymous is a contact sport. And this is also a get your hands dirty process, so that means you gotta push your motherfucking sleeves up and you got to get your hands in it and get dirty. That's what this thing's about. That's what it's about. Change we must or die we will. Don't get high no matter what. Keep coming back. Get your Narcotics Anonymous sponsor and investigate. Who's your sponsor? Y'all do the step guy, or you one of them Anders? You sponsor women, motherfucker, because I need a male sponsor who sponsors men. Because can't no man show me how to be no woman. I ain't stepping on no motherfucking toes. I'm just telling it like the fuck it is. Old Light Eyes is going to come over and do a fifth step, and she going to get all juicy and nasty. I'm going to look at her. Change we must or die we will. Hell no. You'll fuck around and be part of my goddamn story. Keep coming back. Get a service commitment. Get involved. And don't let nobody take your hopes and dreams from you. Chad, I'm proud of you, man. I'm glad you're going to college. We're from two different walks of life, man, and you're my friend. I mean, he came from money. Look, and this shit is not about money, probably. I mean, he came from everything. Mom, dad, sister. Man, he holds a state fucking touchdown record, and he still got high. I can't know. I don't say that shit to put you out. I'm just trying to make a fucking point that where we come from really makes no fucking difference. What matters is where we at. Where are we at, Dennis? Where are we at? We right here. Right here. That's all we got is each other. This ain't a black thing, a white thing, a young thing, a gay thing, a straight thing. It's a human race thing. And it's hard sometimes because we hate ourselves. We don't hate you. We hate ourselves. Jimmy T told me last night. You think I want to hear that shit? You think I want to hear the mother of my child say, you're not going to be able to say no because your ego won't allow you to? You think I want to sit in the goddamn birthday dinner with my daughter while she gives her a Cinderella cake and hear her say you don't need no prince to take care of you? And then I need to stand up with my own principles and integrity and say, listen, do me a favor. When I'm around our daughter, don't make no man-hating comments and contaminate our kids' belief system with your shit. Then other body people say, don't say nothing, let it go. That's a bunch of bullshit. Fuck you and your family. I'm going to fuck if I am in their house. You will fucking respect me. Nah, man, that's a bunch of bullshit. It's hard to let that shit go. She can't fuck with me no other fucking way. And it's hard sometimes to let that shit go, Eric. I ain't trying to bring that shit to the point. I'm trying to be fucking truthful, man. I hugged her ass last night. That's what this shit's about. And it's hard, man. And pray for my family. That's what I ask you to do. Pray for my motherfucking kid. Pray for Chantel. Pray for me. Pray for your fucking self. Pray for somebody you don't even fucking like. That's all I fucking got, man. Without you, I'm nothing. Thank you for letting me share. I'll keep coming back.
All right, all right. Our second speaker from South Potomac, Maryland, by way of Chicago. I give y'all Dennis L. Yeah.
You know what? I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L.
Hey, Dennis L.
First and foremost, I am a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous. Matter of fact, I am grateful for the fact that God brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah, check this out. And Narcotics Anonymous has brought me closer to God and my understanding. I want to thank the region and the program committee for asking me again for the 9th year in a row to come down and share at their beautiful convention. I want to thank my man Wesley S. Yeah. Wesley S., man, look, you set the tone. I knew it. We were sitting over here. Somebody, you want to go first? I'll go second. You go, no, you. We were there. I knew it was a mistake. It was a setup from the beginning. I know a good Shan motherfucker when I hear one now. I don't care what color you is, who you're sexing, what you think your sex is. If you a good Sharon motherfucker with Narcotics Anonymous, I give you a big shout out. This disease that we're dealing with right, it ain't hold no discrimination. It ain't prejudice, right? It don't care if you old or young, black or white, whatever it is, right? It will get you caught up in the grips of a continuous and vicious cycle. Which is are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death. Oh my. I am madly in love with Narcotics Anonymous. I have lost relationships because of Narcotics Anonymous. That's right, Lord. Look, I'm one of them recovering addicts that says my recovery comes first. Look, because if I ain't happy in a relationship with you, because I ain't happy with me, then ain't shit happening in the relationship. I'm a product of the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm literature proficient, and I hold no apologies for it. So if I say something, I quote it out of the literature, and you get offended, you got a fucking problem. I was kind of listening to Wesley share, And I felt the same way, Eric. I was on my way down here yesterday and got a phone call and said, man, they done changed the topic. I said, shit. I had a beautiful presentation, a lead on, a chart with the pie shit with, you know, secrets or reservations. So I spent about 2 hours trying to come up with some shit I'm about to share about. I don't even know. So you about to hear a whole lot of secrets and reservations shit.
Well,
I might fuck around and tell y'all a little bit too much. Yes, yes, yes. There's the letters that talks about it and who's an addict. It says most of us. There's no pre-recognition for that. Most of us do not have to think twice. So therefore, there are some of y'all who's still thinking. Am I an addict? I don't know. Do I act out? Not lately. Am I caught up? I really don't know. Well, look, I'm an addict, man, and I, before I got here, we're talking about change you must or die you will. Look, before I got here, right, I didn't think I needed any changing at all. Yeah, I come from a good family, from the south side of Chicago, had a mother, a father, and six sisters. We didn't have no picket fence or no dog because we grew up in the projects. And what I'm talking about is, you know, they were like, you know, like good families. You know, they had gave me a good education. They fed me real well. But, you know, something was like going on with me. I didn't realize it, but they knew it. Because they would ask me these hard questions. Like, real hard. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, really, what the fuck is wrong with you? Are you ever going to get a job? Just get up off the, do something. I'm like, damn, that, you know, that's pretty hard. It's actually for $20, that's all. The literature talks about me, man. Look on page 5 in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous. It says, check it out. It says, we were constantly searching for the answer. That person, place, or thing that will make everything all right. And it goes on to say, we lack the ability to cope with daily living. I thought I was living fine. I mean, I was running around with people like, I didn't know their last name, Eric. I tell you, I was running around with Doobie, Black Ralph, Lil Mike, and Scooter Bug Nim. They were fine. So I thought I was fine. I didn't need to be changed. Shit, I mean, matter of fact, I had dreams of how I was gonna die. Y'all probably had the same dreams. I said, when I die, make sure you smoke one for me. Matter of fact, when I die, we wasn't drinking nothing expensive, Wesley. I come from the hood. Sorry, beyond Cisco. Rich's Wild Irish Rose. We used to have a ritual before we bust the cap on it. Yeah. We take the bottle, right? You know, and in a brown paper bag, twist the top off, right? She knows. Might have had one today, but anyway, here we go. Twist the top off, right? And we say, "Shay, pour some for those ain't here." That's some sick shit, man. You know, look. I don't know where God gonna take me with this here. It don't even matter, cause all I got is one story. And my story is what the basic text talks about that I got to give you. Ain't no big eyes and little U's in here, right? None of that. So look, it's a blessing to be an addict. If you an addict. No, really, it is. It's a blessing to be an addict. If you an addict. Because once you get in touch with the fact that you are an addict, right, you got something you can deal with. Yeah. I got some solutions. I mean, I got some tools to deal with because I'm an addict. If you're an addict. Flat book, step one. Check this out. Here you go. I have to quote it out the book because I know there are a couple of NA police in here. If I misquote a word, y'all say, book them, Dano. He can never come to my group to share. Fuck him, right. What makes us addicts is a disease of addiction. We got some new literature here. 2007 recovery. What makes us addicts is a disease of addiction. It hits you right in the head. It says, not the drugs. It's not the drugs. You people come around here. I've been around. I'm big time Joe, and I've been here forever. Ever since there was a white book. It's always going to be about the drugs for me. No, it's not. Shut your stupid ass up. That's misinformed information. You still running around the street, shitting on the road, and blaming it on the dog. You ain't used drugs in a long time. What seems to be your major malfunction now? Tell me this about the drugs. That ain't what the new literature says. But then it goes on to say this here, right? It's not our behavior. Give me a basic text. Yeah, a basic text. Look, page 78. Look, it says it's not our behavior. This is page 78. Don't go nowhere. Don't go. It's right here, goddammit. It's here. It's right here, right? That's right. But fuck it, I'm going to paraphrase it. So if I fuck it up, you read the book tonight. It says sometimes we see our past behavior, right, as part of our addiction and not part of ourselves. It's not about your behavior. You still doing that same dumb shit. He go, I'm Sally, and I'm more closer to a drug or a drink than I was when I first got here. No, you're not. Sit your stupid ass down. All the tools we got, all the sponsorship, all the meetings, all the literature we got, you are no closer than a drug or a drink than you was when you got here. God damn it, this ain't your, it ain't got nothing to do with that. It's a blessing to be an addict. If you an addict. Then it goes on to say this here, because I ain't through. Back to the flat book, page 1. For those who are paying attention, page 1. There is something within us that makes us unable to control our use of drugs. This same something makes something like a horror movie. The something. Da 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 da. Yeah, the something. Yeah. And the same something also makes us prone to obsession and compulsion in other areas of our lives. So I have the tendency, I have a disease, right, that I can easily get caught up on something that is trying to kill me without me knowing. For those of us with clean time, they call it the state of denial. Fucking with the newer members. With the newcomers. Here we go. Get honest, right? Rationalize the most outrageous kind of nonsense. I ain't gonna hurt nobody but me. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't know what I'm feeling. I'm in love. I do what I do. Yeah. But on the inside. But on the inside, right, when you don't have a relationship with God and your spirit is so disconnected from the spiritual realities of the world, right, you seem to get caught up and continue down a destructive path. I'm talking about a path where at the end, you know, like, look, check it out. When you done lost your family, when your job becomes in jeopardy. Look, wait, when you sponsor men, right, you ain't got time to sponsor them. You at that point, you have lost the God gift that God has given you to help somebody. Because it becomes all about self. The ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death. Death, yes, death. Let's talk about a spiritual death. The 11th step says, check this out, check it out. It says a spiritual foundation is necessary for a successful recovery that offers unlimited growth. What happens when your spirit dies? What happens when you get to that point in your life where your spirit just don't want to see the truth no more? Where everything you see, everything you touch, you have a tendency to destroy. Talking about friendship that you have created over the last 15 years. Talking about relationship that you don't get back with your kids after all the shit you done put them through, Dennis. And you don't want to come to the meeting. You don't want to come up here and get honest. I heard Wesley talking about how we come here entertaining, we show, but the real line is this here, right? What comes from the heart touches the heart. And whatever I say about me, if it touches your heart, then so be it. Then I've done my job. Some are being caught up in the grip, man, of a continuous and vicious cycle, which is always the same. Jails, institutions, and death. Having the ability, check this out, just to change. You ever find yourself in a spot where you feel like, I'm all right. I'm cool. I got it together. And then all of a sudden, God sends one of his angels around, right? And it just busts you square in the ass. I saw you last night, man. What was you doing? And you get that feeling inside like, damn, damn, damn. Why you gotta fuck with me, man? Talking about, man, you know what happens, man. We know when we die spiritually. When we die spiritually, right? Any and everything around us beginning to die, man. It's kind of like when I was in grammar school, right? My teacher had us taking these little, they call them beans or whatever it was, and put them in a cup. And we had to, you know, put water in them and nourish them things, right? We put water in the whole, like a two-week project or some shit, whatever it was. I'm old, I can't remember. Yeah, we put the bean in the little cup, right, and we would have water in there and a little dirt. And every day we'd go by Wesley and we'd put more water in there, right? More water. Everybody was doing it, right? But me, I didn't want to do that shit. Everybody, 2 weeks went past, right? They little bean plant began to grow. And my shit wasn't growing. And I got mad. I got mad because, you know, Kevin Gross's shit was growing. You know what I mean? Amina's stuff was growing. Tony's stuff, my shit wasn't growing, man. And the teacher said, well, Dennis, you just didn't nourish your shit. You didn't nourish your bean. If I had understood what Miss Finksley was telling me then, right, I would continue to nourish my newfound relationship in Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't seeing my bean sprouts growing in NA, man. I don't see it growing like it's supposed to grow. Because like, I get resentments, I get caught up when I see people like Wesley that know everybody in the meeting tonight. I'm mad at you.
I love you, Dennis.
But I love you, though. I mean, I want to be like well known. That's my disease telling me. My disease saying, you know, you want to be like him. You know, be like Mike and shit. But for real, this is who God got me being me, man. You need to understand, man, I come from a war zone. To get here, a war zone, man. Let me go this way. Before I became an addict, somebody had to teach me how to do some of the things I was doing. You know, you have conventional wars, unconventional wars. You have declared wars and undeclared wars. But what about the wars where they dropping bags of dope on your ass? What about in conventional wars, they drop bombs like we're going to Nagasaki your ass. But in the war on addiction, right, they dropping bombs of, you know, with dope in it and shit, right? Because it wasn't like I just walked up to the spot and was an addict, you know. It was like I was trained. Like in the Army, they say, join the Army and be all you can be. Like being an addict. Come join, be an addict, and be all you want to be. In the Army, they say shit like this here. Here's your M16. Learn to love it. Clean it. It's yours. Cherish it. If you are an addict, here's your pipe. Learn to love it, clean it, and cherish it. It becomes your friend. Yeah. Think about it. Stay with me. I'm going it this way here because I want y'all to feel this right. You know, in the Army, they teach you guerrilla warfare. When you're an addict, you learn guerrilla warfare too. Learn to survive off a little of anything. A bag of potato chips. Maybe barbecue on a holiday or some shit, right? You get there, right? You get there, right? This is where I'm coming from, right? And you get there, right? And you say, well, I had faith, you know, when I was using. I take my money, put it in a brown paper can and send it through the hole, whatever y'all did, right? And got your dope. No, that wasn't faith. That was utter desperation warfare. Come to find out, man, you know, this is why my relationships with my family and with my friends and fellowship, right, are beginning to die, right? Because I suffer from post-traumatic active addiction syndrome. That's why I can't hold no relationship. I didn't have a whole lot of conversation when I was out there. Had that shit. Come on, girl, let's go. Come on, let's go. Now, let's go. You better come on now. Fuck that. Didn't have a whole lot of relationship. I wasn't none of that, pull me. Fuck it, see your ass. Go. But I come here and I get clean, right? I get some feelings. I get some real feelings. I get some feelings like, you know, like I needed to be loved. Like I want to be accepted. Like I want to be a part of this thing. Like, you know, I want my spirit to come alive. Like I don't want to die no more, man. So, you know, when I'm in these relationships, right, it's kind of like it's a struggle for the most part. Relationships. Relationships always seem to be a stumbling block to recovery. In the fellowship, Wesley, right? I had about 18 months clean. I decided I was going to get a relationship because I saw y'all was in one. Fuck it. Y'all was madly in love. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to get a boo too. And I got me a boo. And we started making various conventions, right? And we started wearing his and hers matching t-shirts. Mine said I'm with her. Hers said I'm with him. They were big orange in color so I could see that motherfucker all the way down the hall. I said, look, you know, we made these big plans and we was gonna have this big, large Narcotics Anonymous wedding, right, with a 7-tier cake. We was gonna invite the whole fellowship and y'all was gonna say just for the day. I mean, we was together. I mean, like when Boo moved, I moved. Just like that. Look. And I was caught up. I was in love. But you need to understand, at the moment when I fell in love with Boo, right, I was I was a lonely man. A man with no direction. A man with no purpose. And Boo made all my jagged edges smooth, man, and we decided we were going to do our thing, right? And I understood that I wasn't getting high no more, right? But my disease had manifested itself in another area of my life. And I began to get aggressive with Boo. I started watching Boo. I wasn't trusting Boo no more. Matter of fact, I wasn't trusting the motherfuckers Boo was with either. Her sponsee sister. Why your mama gotta call you so much? And Boo said, look, hey. She's on that wedding piece, on that wedding piece. That's like postpone it to, you know, a later date. And in my mind, that's what I heard. My inability to deal with life on a day-to-day basis. What I heard was this here. Motherfucker, we ain't gonna never get married. What? Let's postpone it. What you mean we ain't gonna get married? I didn't say, look, what you mean? Oh, sponsor, I'm caught up. Can you help me? And I started watching Boo more closely. We had a meeting on the west side of Chicago. That's where I'm originally, that's where I got clean at. Over at Loretta Hospital. I'm sitting in the hospital, right? I'm sitting over in the deep, dark corner, right by the door. So I could see Boo as her ass came in. But she couldn't see me. So I watched Boo, and Boo came up in there, right? And I noticed something. Check this out, Wesley. She hugged somebody like this.
Oh, shit. Nah, I told you, that ain't her.
didn't look too N.A. to me. Then they hugged and they leaned back. I didn't say nothing because I'm cool. I'm going to keep my image. You know what I mean? You know, because y'all really didn't know me with 18 months because I'm going to keep that image. But I'm hurting inside. I'm obsessed with this woman. This has become my new breathing, loving drug now. A human being, man. You know, they say one is too many, a thousand is never enough. I shouldn't have fucked her the first time. So I'm there with Boo at the meeting, right? And I noticed one something, right? And all of a sudden, you know how you be back in the spot in Zip's basement and you get that mega hit and you just jump up because it's just like, you know, you say, man up. I manned up and ran over the boy. I said, what the fuck you doing? She said, oh, because I was like aggressive with her. Physically aggressive. You my woman. We got plans. By then, the N.A. police came in there and, you know, y'all break it up, break it up. I said, I got something for her ass. But what I failed to realize, Boo has something much more bigger for me than I had for her. Because by the time the meeting was over, right, they had them guys with the badges on. The police was out there. Yeah, the rollers. And they put a order of protection out on me, you know. You know what order of protection is, right? You can't, she just filed one, tell them. So anyway, they put one of them things on me, right? And it said, you know, you can't go by her house. You know, you got to stay within 100 meters or some shit away from her. So I said, cool, I can do that. Fuck her anyway. Y'all know how we get. Lying to yourself, buying your own dummy bags and shit. Fuck her. Fuck her. So I'm at home. I'm on the south side of Chicago, and it's February. It's cold in the motherfucker. If you ever been in Chicago in the month of February, snow's all the way up to my hips. So I'm at home chilling like a villain, watching some HBO bootleg cable and shit, right? And what happened, right? All of a sudden, I heard something. Some said, go see what Boo is doing. No, I ain't going over there. Go on, you know, go see what's happening with Boo. No, I can't do that. Man, look, you need to go see what's going on with your woman. Yeah, I am kind of hurting my, you know, I'm missing her. So I fucked around putting this black ninja suit. At that time I had a gremlin car with a whole bunch of windows in that motherfucker, right? All the windows in it, right? And the snow all up here to the, and I'm, so look, dig the move. Stay with me, right? Stay with me. So here I am, right? I'm getting in my gremlin in this black ninja suit, right? With the background all white and snow. And I'm going from the south side to the west side to Boo's house. Now I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to check on Boo. So what's happening with Boo? Change, what is the title? Change you must or die you will. So I just want to check on Boo. Because on the way over there, I'm thinking about reminiscing about the good times. The great times. The moments we bought those orange t-shirts, you know. The times, you know, that we went out to the fellowship and told people we was getting married, you know. I'm reminiscing because I just want to check on Boo. So I get over to the west, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, right? And I'm about, you know, Boo live like right here, so I said I can't park right here, so I'm going to park like right here. 101 meters, not 100, right? So I'm sitting there now, and look, check it out. This is the disease of addiction right now. I don't know how I'm acting or reacting or what I'm looking like in the car, because I don't think nobody see me in this black ninja suit. I'm like, you know, just glad don't nobody see this brother, right? So I'm sitting there, right? But the police was like circling Madison Avenue. And I must have been sitting there for about 2.5 hours. And they came by and they knocked on the window. They said, sir, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. You sure you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Now, my behavior is what they looking at. I'm looking like I just took me a hit. Because I'm looking at Boo's window. Fuck what they talking about. Because in that one window, it was like the window, right, where, you know, we used to do our thing. We used to run around butt naked and shit, right? I mean, it was that window, you know, and you could see it still. I'm just looking for any goddamn thing. So the police, are you all right? Is everything cool? So I said, yes, officer, everything is fucking fine. I'm just looking. What are you looking at? I'm looking for my woman. I just, you know, what is your name? So, you know, you give me your ID. And if you ever had anything to do with domestic issues, right, they run a little check on your name. And a little flag will come up if you're in a hot spot. Change, we must, or die, we will. They took my punk ass to jail that night. Now, Eric, if I had known this topic back then, I wouldn't have went to jail. Because at that point, I wasn't willing to change, man. I mean, I would have rather stayed comfortable with the life I was living. I was very comfortable chasing her ass. I mean, I didn't care what y'all thought about me. I didn't care what I thought about myself. I didn't care the harm I was causing. I look at it now in retrospect, man, look, I caused more harm doing that 3.5 month stint right there than I've caused my entire life. I am grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I am not a perfectly recovering addict because I know how to get away from y'all and do what I want to do. God damn. Then he gave me the 5 minute thing, so. I love NA though. I want to talk with the newer member, right? I want to share this the next 4.5 minutes straight to the newcomers of Narcotics Anonymous. If you're new here, I will encourage you to keep coming back. And you know, we say keep coming back, and sometimes, Wesley, we say that with a very minimum of concern. Because this is the only place that I know that when we encourage you to keep coming back, you come back for a reason. And the reason is so you can get a shot of hope. The reason that you should know that you ain't never got to pick up a drug or a drink. So you would know that you too can get better. That you know that look, it ain't all nasty for us in recovery. When the drugs is gone, man, life shows up. Look, I've been coming here for the last X amount of years just because I know life is showing up. This is the only platform I know that I can come to, right? When I get through sharing, people will tell me, thanks for sharing. Imagine saying that shit at the dope spot. Yeah. Most of the time, they didn't want your ass to share shit. Thanks for sharing. Get you a sponsor. Sponsorship is so important in Narcotics Anonymous. Just don't get you a sponsor in name only. Get you some motherfucker who cares about you. Who has some compassion about you. Who believes in you. Because most of the times if we're new to the fellowship, we don't believe in ourselves. Believe in you. Believe in everything about you. Like, look, check it out. Like, develop a relationship with the God of your understanding. The 11th step says this here, right? We start through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God only as we understood and praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I am so grateful, man, that Narcotics Anonymous has given me that opportunity to get to know God. This has been a wonderful experience for me. I thought it was secrets versus reservations, but who gives a fuck now? Because right now we're at the very end. Look, I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L. Thanks for letting me share.